Welcome to The Challenge, where we'll discuss the challenges that life gives us. Challenges from the perspective of people with disabilities, and challenges from those who encounter a disabled person in any walk of life. If you have comments about the show, or would like to be a guest, call a listener feedback line at 206-333-0257. That's 206-333-0257. Or send email to challenge8255@gmail.com. And now your host, Steve Bauer.
This is program number 9. My guest this week is Susan Wojcicki from Wichita, Kansas, and Susan and I have known each other for quite a few years, and I just will call her Susan W. because that's a whole lot easier.
Absolutely.
Welcome into the show.
Thank you.
So we know where we're starting from. If you can briefly describe your disability.
I am a C7 incomplete quadriplegic who uses a wheelchair most of the time. Basically, I completely severed my spinal cord in a car accident 22 years ago. It'll be 23 in July. And all four of my limbs were affected. As far as when my accident first happened, I could hardly move anything. I've regained quite a bit since then. But basically, a car accident in 1985 left me a quadriplegic.
And as I recall, when we first met, we rode on paratransit vans together, and at that time you were able to do limited walking and actually get on and off the van, but things have sort of changed now. Kind of describe, if you would, the change in your mobility and what you've been able to do and how that has affected you over the years.
Well, I actually did something to my right foot, and it turns in quite a bit, and so it's left me not able to put full weight on it, and so transfers and things like that have become a little bit more difficult, and I'm not quite as mobile as I used to be. It's hard for me to, like I said, transfers have become a little bit more difficult, and it's hard for me to get my wheelchair in and out of my car myself. So, but you know, I am going to physical therapy to try and hopefully get some of that back. But yeah, things have changed a little bit from that. And I, you know, I guess like anything, age has something to do with it too. You know, I mean, I'm 22 years post-injury, so I'm sure that has a lot to do with it too. But no, I'm not quite as mobile as I used to be, and it is frustrating. It's kind of hindered my independence a little bit, you know.
All right. Now, you mentioned driving a car. How long have you been actually able to have your own car and drive it?
Oh, let's see. I'm going to say I started working full-time in 1991. I'm going to say 1989 was when I started driving. So I've been driving for quite a while.
Now, considering the fact that you were actually in an accident that resulted in you joining the minority of disabled people, was driving in the first part when you first started driving, was that a scary experience or a challenge for you?
No. I mean, when I got my car, it was like somebody let me out of a cage, you know, because like we talked about, I was used to having to wait on the bus and everything, but when I got my car, it was like somebody let me out of a cage. The hardest thing was getting used to the hand controls, you know, because you have one hand control that operates the gas and the brake, and you have to kind of get used to the, you know, the play of the mechanism and how it, you know, how it does the gas and the brake and everything. But that wasn't the scary part. The scary part was, like I said, getting used to the hand controls.
Oh, my. Okay, so we've gone from a normal functioning person to a person in a wheelchair. How did that change your outlook on life, your goals as to what you wanted to become when you grew up and that type of thing?
You know, I was very fortunate in the fact that I do have a college degree in business administration. I think the hardest thing that it affected was, you know, or is, and I'm sure anybody who's experienced this will agree, is your self-image. You know, everybody makes a big issue of physically fit people and how, you know, and having to get used to, oh, doing, you know, like dressing, you know, you have to, you know, certain things look better than other things, you know, when you're in a wheelchair. And so the self-image issues probably were the biggest challenge. Like I said, my degree enabled me to kind of have more flexibility as far as, you know, what I wanted to do or whatever. I started volunteering, and then I started volunteering at SRS and went through vocational rehabilitation and started volunteering, and then kind of went from there. So.
Now, most of us have a support network, people we rely on or lean on for assistance for various tasks, some small, some larger. As I recall now, you are really not from here in the Wichita area. Your family lives out of state. Is that right?
Right. Most of my family's in Colorado. You're right. You have a good memory.
It's not gone yet. So, all right, the support network. Let's kind of look at that. Family in Colorado, and you're in Kansas. Did you ever think that maybe you should go back to Colorado, or, you know, to basically move in and take advantage of that family support network?
And my family did try and talk me into that, but I don't know. I guess from my college days, I liked Wichita so well that I decided I kind of wanted to stay here, and I kind of formed a little bit of a support network. I have what's called a Wichita dad, who is the first person I actually met when I moved to Wichita. He and his now wife are a lot of support to me. I have a significant other, Bob, who helps me tremendously. And then I have a lady, Tina, who comes in once a week and does my laundry and takes my laundry and cleans my house and does things that I need. And I have a lot of friends, you know, that I've met over the years that pitch in. And you know, that's one thing that I've been very fortunate about is there's always been somebody there when I needed. I've been very fortunate that way. So I do have a good support network.
What about tasks that you find challenging in everyday life? Is there, say, one or two things that just really bug you that you just wish you could figure out a way to get them done and not have to have the challenge and fight through some obstacle to accomplish a task or two?
The personal hygiene issues are probably the big thing. I mean, by the time I take a shower and do everything I need to do in that respect, you know, and dressing and that kind of thing, you know, I can't get dressed in 5 minutes anymore. You know, that's the big challenge. So that, you know, those types of things are a challenge. Yeah.
Oh, I bet so.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Challenge. To receive email updates about the show and our guests, you're invited to join our mailing list. Simply send a blank message to challenge 8255-subscribe at googlegroups.com. That's challenge 8255-subscribe at googlegroups.com. Once again, your host, Steve Bauer.
In your apartment, do you have any special accommodations that, say, are unique to your needs to make living easier for you?
I have some grab bars on my toilet so that I can get up and down, and I have a bench that I sit on and a handheld shower that I use, which really helps a lot. And of course, I couldn't get by without my Reacher. I am, you know, whoever invented Reachers, I think should be commended, because that's that's really been a big help to me. I've been very fortunate in the fact that in my kitchen, because I do have some standing ability and everything, you know, it's been, I stand up to do my dishes and I, you know, and that kind of thing, which I'm very fortunate to be able to do. So those kinds of things are of help to me.
So what kind of hobbies and interests do you have?
I love to play cards. I like to read. I, of course, became a computer. My brother, bless his heart, bought me a computer last year, and so I've been able to get into, you know, some internet and email stuff, which I really, really, really like. But I love to play cards, hearts and pitch and also dominoes and that sort of stuff.
It seems like we all probably have had that one or two, shall we say, famous stupid questions asked of us.
Uh-oh.
Do you have anything that would come to mind, a really dumb or stupid question that has been posed to you by someone?
How do you deal with this every day? And to me, I mean, it's a funny question in the fact that I guess you just do what you have to do to deal with it every day, you know? And the other thing is, gosh, you must have such strong arms if you wheel your own wheelchair, you know, your arms must be really strong. Things like that. But I like going, how do you deal with this every day? You know, you deal with it just like, you know, anybody else deals with anything else that they, any other challenge that they face, you know, you take one thing at a time and you challenge it and then you move on.
I think being totally blind for me, as I recall, one of the stupidest questions that I was ever asked, a friend of mine, this is quite a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
he's a sighted guy and he wound up getting hooked up with this gal and they were at our house one evening and she asked me if I slept with my eyes open. How do you even respond to something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
So it's amazing what people will come up with.
Yeah.
So, okay, so being in a wheelchair, what are your encounters with other persons of disability? What are they like with people, say, who are blind or visually impaired or deaf or maybe even other people in wheelchairs? Have you had some unusual encounters or challenges from that aspect?
Actually, I have quite a few friends who are blind and also use wheelchairs, and I feel like they offer more support than anything. I mean, one of my very, very, very good friends and I, we do, she's blind, and we used to, we don't so much anymore. We still get together quite often, but we used to pal around together and go out together, and the looks that we would get, and we got used to each other's disabilities. I mean, she learned the things that that I encountered as far as steps, and I learned that I needed to describe things to her as we if we went shopping or we went even driving or, you know, driving around, I would learn that I needed to describe things to her. I've gotten a lot of support from a lot of my friends in wheelchairs, you know. And I feel very fortunate because some of them are a lot worse off than I am. Some of them they can't even get out of the wheelchairs themselves. You know, they have to rely on other people for a lot more help than I do. I don't know if that, hopefully that answers your question.
Sure, absolutely. If there would be one thing that you could say that you wish people would do or you wish people would act upon or that you wish people would treat you a certain way, or what would be the one thing that you would like to wish for in life that as far as you are being treated?
You know, that's a very interesting question because I think of the times that people have just tried to help me without even asking. You know, they'll assume that they know where I want to go. And they'll say, you know, they'll grab my wheelchair and push me and say, here, let me help you, you know, won't even ask me, you know. And so if there's one piece of advice that I would give anybody out there is, if you want to help somebody, you ask them first before you do anything. You know, say, you know, can I help you? Because I've gotten in a lot of, you know, I've almost been run off ramps. I've, you know, without people knowing where I want to go or you know, it's a real, you know, it's kind of humorous because it's like, well, you know, would you like somebody to just come up and start taking you somewhere? You know?
No.
So, but that's one thing that I would have to say is a real pet peeve of mine.
Is it difficult when you're talking to people if they are standing and you're in your wheelchair? Would you rather them sit down if they can or have a place to, or is that just something you've accepted and you deal with it?
Either way, I think, I mean, 22 years of experience has told me that, you know, you just deal with it. You deal with the situation however you can. You know, if it gets too much, I always ask them, you know, is there a place we can go and sit down and so you can sit down so I don't have to, you know, strain my neck to talk to you. You know, if it gets too much, I would do that. But I guess I've kind of gotten used to it. But if the situation warrants, I would surely ask them to do that, you know, sit down so that I wouldn't strain my neck so much.
Yeah, I like that approach. Is there some place where we can go and sit and talk? So you're not putting them on the spot necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, we have just about run out of time, and I want to thank you for coming on our show and sharing with us your challenges of being a wheelchair person and some of the unique things that you've run into and how you have managed to deal with them over these past 23 years since you joined this minority of disabled people.
The largest minority, by the way.
Well, it continues to grow.
Yeah, it's, you know, because it, I mean, disability encompasses every race, every ethnicity, you know, every age, every, you know, male, female, every gender. So I learned a long time ago that we are the largest minority. People with disabilities are the largest minority.
And this week we have a second guest. Steve Nomer of Wichita, Kansas is with me. And Steve and I have actually known each other since, what, about 1860 or something like that?
Bert was just brand new.
Yeah, it's been a long time. You have, in the past several years, what, about 8-10 years ago maybe, kind of went through a transition. You transitioned from a high partial to a person with no vision.
Yes, actually, that was 15 years ago.
Oh, time flies when you're having fun.
It really does.
Oh, I can't believe it's been that long.
And I was working then. I'm retired now, but at the time I was working. And it was an interesting transitional period, that's for sure.
Let's go back and talk about what level of vision did you have?
Well, of course, they measured it at 2200 or less. They really couldn't tell because I never could see the eye charts. And so they just kind of estimated it at 2200 and left it at that. And in addition to that, I only had vision in one eye, and that vision width was only about 4 degrees. So it was very limited, actually.
As a result of having diabetes, that took its toll, and all of a sudden you began losing your vision. How long did it take you to go from having a little bit of vision to not having any?
It took about 2 months, but for most of that 2 months, I really didn't have any usable vision. I had some light perception, then some shadows, that kind of thing, and then it was all gone. The total transition was maybe 2 to 3 months.
Well, there's obviously a lot we could talk about in that area. But what I want to focus on in this time that we're talking to you is your workplace. What was that like transitioning at work from a person who could see to get around fairly well, and I'm assuming you could see the monitor on the computer and you got a chance to see what windows looked like, and then all of a sudden you're using a cane and you're having to use speech software. How did that transition take place for you?
I can tell you that I wish I would have started using a screen reader earlier. If I knew then what I know now, I would have begun using a screen reader before I actually lost my vision, since I knew that it was a possibility. I really should have done that, because what happened when I did lose my vision was that I not only had to make the transition to not being able to see the screen and not being able to even look at the monitor anymore, but I also had to go through the learning curve of learning a brand new program called a screen reader. If I'd have taken the time before that to have used a screen reader and learned it while I could still see the screen, it would have made things much easier. But having said all that, the transition, I think, in some ways is easier because I knew what windows presented on the screen. I knew what a desktop was because I'd actually seen it. I knew what icons were. I knew what the taskbar was. I knew what the system tray was. And so I didn't have to try to visualize that. I've discovered that describing to them what's on the screen is much easier since I once could see it. And if they had had that knowledge themselves, they would be able to pick up learning a screen reader with Windows much easier. So I think the task of transitioning was easier for me in a lot of ways.
How about the people you worked with? How did that go with them? Like I say, you're walking around one day and you can see what the pretty girls look like, and then all of a sudden you're a blind guy.
Well, the pretty girls felt a lot safer, of course. But other people had probably more difficult times adjusting to it than I did. I'll never forget my cube mate kept giving me written phone messages, and I kept having to tell him, I can't read those anymore. You're going to have to send them to me in an email or just tell me about them verbally because I can't read those. And he was always embarrassed. And then people were not used to me not being able to see, and so they were having difficulties figuring out how they needed to interact with me differently on many different respects. Even though I had been in the building that I was in for about 7 or 8 years and was very familiar with it, I actually got lost a couple of times in that building, and it was very embarrassing. It was a very interesting transitional period.
Did some of the people you work with get all hung up on words such as, did you see that, or did you watch this, or trying to avoid using those visual words that everybody uses in their day-to-day speech?
Yes, and they still do that, even to this day. I have a friend who was a friend of mine already for 7 or 8 years when I lost my vision, and he still has trouble with that. In fact, just the other day, he asked me if I had watched something on television, and then he stopped. And I said, you know, don't worry about that. I watch TV a little differently than you do, but I still watch it.
And what about your ability to do certain tasks? Were there suddenly, as a blind person, some tasks in your job that you were just not able to do anymore?
Yes, we had a computer room with a raised floor downstairs in our building, and I used to work quite a bit in that computer room. And at the time that I lost my vision, some of the raised floor tiles had been removed for some work that they were doing, and so there were big holes in the middle of the floor down there.
Oh, God.
And because of that, I could not go down there any longer, and so there were certain things that I had to have people do for me that I would have done before. And then, of course, there's the old bugaboo about parts of my job being on computers dealing with web pages that were not accessible to me after I couldn't see them. And so those things had to be done differently, or I just had to tell them, hey, I can't do it anymore.
And how was your employer with providing accommodations such as the speech software?
They were wonderful with that, and they even had a person there who had worked with speech software, voice recognition software, and he was a big help because he had dealt with speech synthesizers and various things. And so he took me into the lab and gave me a complete tour of all of the different things that we had. I got to actually select from 2 or 3 different synthesizers that he had on hand. And the company as a whole was very understanding about it. They gave me some time to take Braille classes, time off for free. Didn't have to use vacation or sick leave or anything like that. So they were very good about all of that.
You say now that you are retired, Did the fact that you were blind play a role in that event occurring in your life?
Well, the fact that I was blind and having to deal with a lot of inaccessible software was a big part of me wanting to retire. I didn't enjoy my job as much after I lost my vision as I did before because things were more complicated.
Any advice for someone who may find themselves in this situation from transitioning from a person with vision to a person without vision in the workplace?
Well, I can say that the best thing to do is to talk to people. Let them know that you are having this transitional period, that you are losing your sight or that you have lost it. Some people looked at me even after I had lost all of my vision after that 2 or 3 month period and still didn't realize that I couldn't see or it didn't register with them or something. Looking back on it, I think I should have probably talked more to people and just been more open with them. Not that I really wasn't open, but there were times when I found that you just have to kind of bash it into their heads. They don't understand. And so you have to just come out and say, look, I can't see this anymore. I'm going to have to do things differently. You're going to have to interact with me differently. So I think communication is the biggest part of that.
Steve Nomer of Wichita, Kansas. And we do have some listener feedback. Here's an email from Debbie in Florida. Hey there, Steve. I heard your show when you interviewed the other Steve Bauer. What a riot. That is uncanny. You two should do a skit or some sort of routine with that. If you were to go to the ACB convention, it would be great if you two could do something in the Friends and Arts Showcase. Enjoy the show, and I'll be listening, Debbie. Well, thank you, Debbie. I appreciate getting your email, and it is a little weird how Steve Bauer of California and I have so many things in common, but it's kind of cool. And now some audio feedback, also from Florida.
Hey, Steve, my name is Tony. I'm down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I just finished listening to your fine program, and I was very impressed. I heard it the last couple of weeks, and I was quite impressed with your presentation. I think the program's really put together in a very professional manner, and it sounds real great. I want to wish you the best of luck and continue the good work, because I think you're really on the right track, and I enjoyed your guest tonight as well. Keep working. I'll be here listening to you. Good luck, Steve. Bye.
Well, Tony, thanks for calling in and giving us your feedback. Do appreciate hearing from you. And if you'd like to call in, we'll give you that feedback line phone number in just a moment. Next week, my special guest is a blind guy who's a musician. He's a keyboardist, a singer, and just all-around talented guy. His name is Ellis Hall. He'll be my guest next week here on The Challenge.
If you have comments about the show or would like to be a guest, call a listener feedback line at 206-333-0257. That's 206-333-0257. Or send email to challenge8255@gmail.com. To receive email alerts about the show each week, including information about our guests, send a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. That's a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. Thanks for listening, and stay strong when encountering the challenges of life. Please join us next week at this same time for another edition of The Challenge from ACB Radio Mainstream.